Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 1. If you need a Bible, there's some over here. Anyone need a Bible?
Not me.
Not you? You're good? Good. Anyone else?
I do.
Good. Yep.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Good. Matthew chapter 1. And no, I'm not doing Matthew chapter 1 because we did that a few months back. But the title of tonight's message is, if you haven't guessed it, God with Us. Emmanuel, God with us. And Christmas is here, obviously, right? I hope so. But it didn't really feel like it that much to me this year, to be honest with you. I kept trying to psych myself up, and it just didn't feel like Christmas for some reason. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's because Thanksgiving was a week later. I don't know. But it is Christmas, and it definitely is Christmas, and you probably knew that going out shopping and seeing everyone out there. But I've met people over the years that for one reason or another, and I can understand some of them, don't celebrate Christmas. They say it's too commercial. Maybe they're worried about the potential pagan history, and I can understand some of those arguments. They might say it's against their religion, or maybe they've lost someone they loved around that. Being around the holidays is hard, especially the first few years, and probably always. But in some way, hear me out, no disrespect needed or meant by this, but I think that it's sad to not celebrate Christmas for any one of these reasons. Because Christmas, most of all for us as Christians, and if you don't know Jesus yet, Christmas is about God being with us. And we should celebrate that above all other things. And tonight, do you know that God is with you? He's with you. And we'll look at that a little bit tonight, but it's evident. All of Scripture shows us that God is with us. We did a study in Genesis years ago. I loved it. It was one of my favorite, one of my wife's favorites. But looking at it, it was God and man. There's examples throughout the entire book, and even through the 66 books of the Bible, that God has been with us. In the Garden of Eden, God planted a garden. He made man and woman, and he wanted to walk daily in the garden with them. Until what? You know what happened. And if it wasn't Adam and Eve doing it, it would have been you and me doing it. So we can't blame them completely. Hagar, remember Abraham and Isaac, right? They got a little impatient for God's promised son, and Hagar and her son, and they kicked them out when Isaac was born. Well, a little bit after, right? This boy was making fun of them, picking on them. But the Lord went after Hagar in the wilderness and gave her a promise. And to Sarai, remember when he came down with the angels and gave that promise of a son? But where was he going? He was going to Sodom. He had heard from heaven what was going on in Sodom, and he needed to see for himself, if you can believe that, if he didn't already know, but he needed to go down and be there, even to judge. With Babel, Melchizedek, God and Jacob wrestling. Moses, the burning bush. Story after story of God coming down to be with man. And these things are called Christophanies or Theophanies, where we have appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. Because I don't think God wants to stay away. He's not that absentee landlord. He wants to come down and be with us. And I think he was making up every excuse in his way to come down and see us, to see how we're doing, to see what we're up to, and to be involved in our lives. Well, Matthew 1, 18 through 25 says this. If I could turn there, I'm in Matthew chapter 8. But Matthew 1 says this. It says, now the birth of the Christ, Jesus Christ, was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, so they were in a type of engagement, before they came together, you know, before they were husband and wife, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, remember there was serious punishment and social outcry if she had gotten pregnant before being married, he was minded to put her away secretly. But while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, I love that he reminds him who his great-great-great-great-grandfather is, David, right? Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, I don't know about you, but I'd be awoken from a dream like that, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her until she had brought forth their firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That this is the fulfillment of Isaiah, right? That a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. That his name means God with us. We can look at names and see the importance of names, but the important announcement of Jesus' birth was about God being with us. So Emmanuel means God with us, and Jesus means Yahweh, or God is salvation. That God is with us, why? To be our salvation. Well, why? Why do we need a Savior? Well, we were never meant to do this alone. You and I, to go through life on our own, is not what we're capable of. That if you can't handle the things in your life, good news for you, nobody can. We're not designed to handle them, right? The garden, God made it. It was perfect. Perfect. Good old Adam and Eve couldn't stay away from that one tree, could they? They were supposed to walk with God every day. In fact, after they'd eaten, what did they do? They hid. And then what did they hear? They heard the sound of God in the garden. I don't know what that sounded like, but after sin came, it scared them. Because when sin entered, death entered. That when we were created, we weren't meant to die. We weren't meant to know the weight of sin. We weren't meant to know a world that was broken and has cancer and has death and has treachery in it. We were meant to live in a garden. We were meant to pick the fruit. It was meant to be nice out all the time, most of the time, right? Or even if it was cold, you wouldn't have been complaining because it was a good cold. And then you meet with God. At the end of the day, come hang out with him. Because the lie was, you'll be like God if you just eat. If you get enlightened to sin, then you'll be like God. But the truth was, they were already like God. They were made, you and I were made, in his image. That we were already as much as like God as we needed to be as his creation. But we weren't meant to be apart from him. And God knew that that was the result of sinning, was to be apart from him, to be separated from him, right? Holy means to be separate, but to be in sin is to be separate from God. In fact, that's what hell is. It's to be separated from God for all eternity, knowing that you could have been with him, knowing that your choices and your sin kept you from him, and he did everything he could to welcome you back. But because of sin, because we weren't designed to sin, because we were designed to live in a garden and fellowship with God every day, we couldn't handle it when sin came. Satan was like, you won't surely die. Well, they didn't die physically right away, but they died spiritually right away. And in fact, death now entered where they would die one day, maybe age 800, maybe age 900. I don't know what you're going to do for 900 years, the cool things you could learn, but I don't know that you want to live 900 years, at least in a sinful state. But they were supposed to live forever before sin came. And so our lives were cut short. We weren't meant to know what it was like to lose a friend. We weren't meant to know what it was like to see a child die. We weren't meant to know what it was like to get sick. And worse than that, we weren't meant to know what it was like to be cut off from God, cut off from our Creator, spiritually dead. You can go in the same beautiful day, right? It's a beautiful sun. I don't know if you saw the sunrise this morning, but it was beautiful. It was like the sky was on fire. If someone you had just lost, someone died in your family recently, that sunrise might not have even affected you. Might have been the worst sight ever. There would be no joy in it. But if things were going well, things were going great in life, it'd be the most beautiful sight to behold. We weren't meant to know what it was like. The difference is, where is your spirit? That sunrise was the same, but the situation was different. And Romans 8, 19 through 22 says this in a translation I don't normally read from, but I did when I first became a Christian. It's the New Living Translation. It says this, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, All creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up into the present time. That when Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't just kill them, it killed creation. That the world is broken. The things around us are broken. People got cancer, not necessarily because they're bad people, but because the world is broken, because sin is in the world. Now, don't get me wrong. You could smoke your whole life and get cancer, and it's probably because you smoked your whole life. But there's other people I know, like my old pastor's wife, healthiest lady I ever knew. She got cancer. She never ate anything GMO. She never smoked a cigarette. She never even went out in the sun too long. It's because the world is broken, and all creation groans for the day when the Savior will come for us. And because it's broken, because we're not designed to handle the brokenness, and because truthfully we are broken, we turn to things to try and fix our brokenness. I don't know about you, but super glue doesn't seem as strong as it used to be. I've had to turn to other things. I've got super glue. I'm like, this doesn't even stick. My fingers don't even stick together. I don't know. They must have changed it to sell you the more expensive one. But we turn to things that are like super glue for us. Booze, relationships, drugs. Hopefully not you, but I know a little bit about that before Jesus. Maybe it's money. You're a workaholic. Maybe it's selfishness. Or maybe like tomorrow, new toys. Oh, I can't wait to get that new whatever it is. And then next year it's in the trash pile. You're making room for the new toys when it comes in. And not that things are bad, but things in the place of God are bad. Things that God says are bad are bad and won't fix you, won't make you feel better, won't heal you. In fact, will only make you worse. And if it does help, it doesn't help for long. It wears off. It wears you out. Or worse, it'll kill you. I don't mean to bring down the mood on Christmas, but there's drugs out there now where people are bent over in the street, looking dead. And how do they get there? Because they're broken. Because they need Jesus just as much as you and I do. But they happen to turn to things that killed them quicker than you and I do. But back to the garden. God didn't design us to live without him. He didn't. We're not meant to. You might think you can. You might think you can go a whole day without him. You can't. It's his grace that you survived this long. But I think the worst part about it is that he didn't design us to live without him. And if we're without him, it's because we chose to live without him. We wanted that fruit. We wanted to eat from that tree instead of to be with God. Thankfully, even in the same breath that God cast him out of the garden and pronounced the curse, he had a plan. And I don't think that it caught God off guard and he went, oh no, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we need to come up with a plan now. No way. God's perfect. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And so he had a plan. In Genesis 3, it says that the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Typical us, blaming someone else for our problems. And I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And listen to this. This is the part to listen to. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That God promised right then and there, if you were listening, like Jesus likes to say, and I can't say, if you have ears to hear, that he would send his son to be a part of the human race. That one day from a woman, from the race of man, would be born a son who is not like any other sons of Adam. He is the son of God, and his role is to crush Satan's head, but it would bruise Jesus' heel. That Jesus' plan, God's plan through Jesus, was to rescue us. To rescue us. To bring us back. We were out of the garden, but God wanted us back in that garden, not just so we could eat fruit, not just so we could have nice sunlight, but so that we could fellowship with him all the time. But he had to defeat Satan and had to do away with our sin to do that. And how he did that was by being with us, and being with us in the most way possible by becoming a human like us. Well, if you had forgotten that this was Christmas and this was a Christmas message, this is Christmas. God with us. That the plan started long before Coca-Cola invented Santa Claus and the Coca-Cola bears, long before they cut down the first tree, long before they invented lights, long before they had wrapping paper and Nintendo. The plan had been in play. The plan had been moving. And guess what? It's going to continue until the Lord comes back. Because that's the ultimate goal of Christmas, is heaven. The ultimate goal of Christmas is that we get to go to the future garden, the future paradise, that we get a taste of it now with God, but that you and I would go somewhere even better than the garden. That for Christmas, this was it, God with us, to never not be with us ever again. In the Old Testament, God would show up from time to time on earth in different ways to different people, but it wasn't to everybody. In fact, David prayed, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. God, you're with me. Don't leave me because I messed up. That there wasn't the freedom that there was under the blood of the new covenant. And now we don't have to be apart from God because the veil is torn and his Spirit is available to us to what? Be with us. So God sent his son on Christmas to be with us. That Christmas for non-Christians, the best it can be, is a nice day filled with presents. And I hope you guys get something this year, whether it's a lesser tax bill, whether it's a new TV, whatever it is. We were joking in the store, Mario and I were at Costco before, and your wife needs the 100-inch butter, right? You know, she needs the big TV, right? I hope you get something good this year. It's nice to get good things. It's good to give. Jesus said it's blessed to better to give than to receive. But for the world, that's all it can be at the most. Maybe about family. Maybe about getting together. Maybe about good food, right? Maybe it's even about doing a good deed, putting that money in the Salvation Army bucket, or even going to church that once a year to pay respects to the man upstairs, you might say. But for the non-Christian, that's as good as it gets. It wears off. The credit card bill, hopefully. You didn't put anything on the credit card, but if you did, that credit card bill is going to show up. But for us Christians, if you believe in Jesus tonight and God is with you, he's with you. For us, it's the day of celebrating Jesus' birth. We get to sing these old hymns like no one else. Mariah Carey might play it at the mall, but she can't sing it the way you and I can sing it, at least that I know of. I don't think she's a believer. But we get to celebrate a day that God gave us the ultimate gift, his son Jesus. I can't imagine giving my sons for someone good, let alone someone bad. And that's exactly what God did. That he gave us this ultimate gift at the cost that no one could pay. That we have a family. That you and I, we are family by the blood of Jesus. We may dress different, we may act different, we may sound different. But if you and I are born again into the family of God, we are family. That our family is bigger than any other family. And that doesn't put down blood family at all. But it just means we have more. We have more that we could never get in this life. We have more that we could never conjure up in this life. We have more that has nothing to do with us in a sense because God did it all for us. For Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us that in while we are still sinners, listen to that, while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for you because he said, oh, you know what? He's going to do a good thing. He said, I'm going to die for you because you have no hope without me. If I don't die for you, if I don't go to the cross and take it all for you, you can have nothing of what my Father has for you. And I want to give you everything that my Father has for you. And I'm not going to read it all, but Romans 5 goes on in 15 through 21. It says that there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. That Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, you may hear that, not earn it, receive it, will live in triumph over sin. Thanks for turning it off. And will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Through one man, there's one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, Adam, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. That there's two lines. There's Adam's line and Jesus' line. We're born into Adam's line just by being born. But to be born into Jesus' line, we must be born again. And around Christmas tends to bring up those deep emotions. We tend to think about the people we've missed, the things we've lost, the mistakes we've made. And when we love someone or miss someone or need comfort, we tend to cling to things, right? Little kids with their stuffed animals, right? If you remember watching Charlie Brown, was it Linus who had the blanket? He always carried his blanket with him everywhere. Maybe it's a picture of a loved one, like that movie Castaway. Maybe it's comfort food, right? I'm just so sad, I'm just going to keep eating. That's the thing. Ask me how I know. But when we don't realize God is with us or know Him, we tend to cling to things to a point of being unhealthy. Religion, tradition, statues, idols, pictures, the law. We tend to look for other things to fill this need, this void of a relationship that we have. God is supposed to be with us, but we don't have Him with us, so we have a need, and we try and fill it with other things. And those other things don't satisfy. Those other things, even if they do satisfy, will not get us into the right place with God. The only place that gets us right with God is the cross, is the blood of Jesus. That's the only gift, and it's a gift. You have to receive it. You can't fill it. You can't make it. You can't earn it. If my kids came to me and said, "Dad, I want to pay you for the Christmas gifts," I would be so sad. You don't have to pay me for the Christmas gifts. I love you. I'm going to give you things. I want to give you more things. I'd want to even go into debt to get you more things because I love you so much. And if me being evil can give gifts, like Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven? But do we not know that God is with us? Maybe we've forgotten. Maybe we've forgotten that He's with us. Romans 8:29 says this: "What shall we say then about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't we also give up everything else?" But this is the gift. God gave up everything for you and I. There's nothing in the way between you and God except your choice. Do you want to be with God? Do you want God to be with you? Well, the Bible says you can be, but there's a cost. And if you're a Christian, and not that necessarily you've prayed the prayer, but the Bible says you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God is raised from the dead, that He alone is the payment for your sins, then you can receive that gift. That's the act of receiving that gift. And the scary thing is that Jesus said that many are going to say to Him in that day of judgment, right on the door to paradise, "Lord, Lord, we knew you. We did all these things." And even scarier, sorry, Christmas message, "We cast out demons in your name." And He's going to say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you wicked servant." That God doesn't care what you do, so to speak, as long as the first thing you do is come to Him. Well, maybe you're not a Christian tonight. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you never knew Him, or maybe you're not sure. Maybe it was a religion your whole life. Do you know that God is still with you? He's not inside you yet, but He's alongside you. The Holy Spirit is with you, convicting you of sin and of judgment and righteousness, saying, "My son, my daughter, no, go this way. The garden is this way. God is this way. You're going the wrong way," trying to prevent us from missing out on the gift. And that's the Comforter that Jesus prays about in John 14. He's going to send the Comforter. But what more do we need than the comfort around Christmas? Especially if we lost, especially if we're alone, especially if things aren't going well in our lives, we need comfort. And to think that you're not good or something, that I need comfort, then I must not be as good as a person. Everybody needs comfort. People just turn to it in the wrong places. That it's okay to need comfort, and God has provided a way for you to be comforted this Christmas through His Son Jesus. Through Jesus being born as a baby to come and live a life and die for us and rise again is meant to be the comfort for us. Whether you've known that your whole life, whether that's news to you now, it can be a source of comfort. It should be your sole comfort in life, knowing that whatever happens, God's got me. Whatever happens, God is with me. Whatever happens, He goes before me and behind me. That's the gift. You can't buy that at Costco. They might have a good deal on it if they had it, but you can't buy it there. You only buy it at one place, and that's the cross. And He already paid for it. So whatever money you bring to purchase it isn't going to get you there. You just have to give your heart. You just have to believe and receive it. And that sounds like probably someone on TV would say, believe and receive, brother. But sincerely, God wants you to receive his gift. And that's all we need is Jesus. And it's sad because Christmas and giving has really erased this. It's turned into some generic holiday. We can't even do red and green anymore. It's got to be blue and white. It's just got to be happy holidays and merry winter. But the truth is, we need Jesus in Christmas. We need to receive him in Christmas. We need to worship him in Christmas. Because remember, when we remove God, what's left? Nothing. Nothing worth remembering. Nothing worth celebrating. If God's not in it, if you don't believe in Jesus, why celebrate Christmas? Don't do anything. There's nothing there. You want to buy gifts? Go buy gifts for yourself on Black Friday. There's nothing in the giving. There's nothing in the tree. It's everything in the tree of the cross. But remember, Emmanuel means God with us. And Jesus means God is salvation. That Jesus had to be with us to free us. He's not just like the president on the other side of the world, pardoning someone else in some prison somewhere, making a deal. He stepped down out of heaven as a baby to come be with us, to come free us, to come bless us. Because that's always been the point of Christmas. It's always been the point, is to bring us back into a relationship with God. That Christmas is about the gift of being one with your Creator once again. And from that, hopefully one with your family. Hopefully one with those around you as much as possible. But it's not about doctrine, right? That right doctrine is essential. We need to know what the Bible says if we really want to know what God, who God is and what he says. We can't just make it up on our own or go on feeling. We have to see what his words have actually said about him and about how to be with him. And doctrine's important, but don't get me wrong, it's not about the doctrine. It's not about living the right lifestyle either, although living rightly shows where our hearts are at, shows where we are spiritually, shows if we've even just read the Bible, and Jesus says that all the time to the religious guys. Have you not just read it, he says? If we just but read it, we'd see that he's with us, but we have to let him be with us. We have to go the way that he wants to go when he's with us. Because the doctrine and our lifestyle don't make up for a relationship. He says, you search the scriptures daily, but you don't know me. He says, I want you to know me. If you read the Bible, let it be about knowing me, not about memorizing a verse, so to speak, not that that's wrong, not about studying and knowing the Greek, not that that's wrong, but if you study and know the Greek and memorize the whole thing and don't know Jesus, he says, you missed the point. This is about knowing me. This right here is about knowing Jesus. When we talk, when we eat, when we fellowship, when we pray, when we worship, the end goal of all of that is that we would be closer with Jesus. Not out of the act, but because he's willing and ready and waiting for you just to come to him. He says, I'm with you. Come here. Being with us by Jesus becoming our sin. Think about that. He became our sin. I don't want you to think about your sin here. Wait till later. But the awfulness of that, he didn't just take it. He didn't just get the broom and take out the trash. He became it. He became a baby to become your sin. Being with us, he didn't leave us when he died. He was gone a couple days. Disciples forgot what he said, but he came back. And he said that I'm going again, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it took God 6 days to create the earth and creation, imagine what he's done in 2,000 years. Imagine it. I can't. It's going to be amazing. And why is he doing that? Why did he go away? Why did he send the Comforter to be with us? So that we could be with him forever. That Christmas is about God with us so that we could be with him. And do you still see Christmas as a miracle? You know, Jesus did many miracles, water to wine, right? He made the little like kids' handy snack lunch to feed 5,000 several times. But him being born was a miracle. The fact that God himself was born as a baby in that manger, in that time in history, that's a pretty big deal. I'd say that's probably even bigger than creation itself, that God was born as a man. And Jesus says, there's another miracle. I tell you the truth in John 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.
And Nicodemus says, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, and just as you hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. And that's a little bit of a loose translation, but what Jesus is saying is that when Jesus was born, it was so that we could be born again. That we were born into this body of sin and flesh and death, but we can be born into a new life that's free from sin, free from death. Oh, death, where is your sting, right? That we can be born here, that when we die once, and then we can live forever. That we are welcomed with God because Jesus was born with us. No matter what you've done, who you think you are, how good or bad you've been, especially this Christmas, I don't know if you get coal or not. Apparently that's a good thing. It would have been a good thing, right? But if we but choose him, that's it. Do you want the gifts that God has for you? Choose Jesus. Do you want God to be with you? Say, God, be with me. And he goes, I already am. Thanks for letting me in. I'm already at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone answers, I will come in with him and dine with him and sup with him, eat with him. God loves to fellowship. God loves to be with you and talk with you. God would want pizza all over your Bible if it just meant you were reading it and spending time with him and enjoying a slice with him. I say that because I like pizza. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right. That's right. It just made their day. But we need to choose his life and let go of ours. We can't choose him and hang on to our things. And why would we do that? Why would we hang on to these things that aren't fulfilling us? And we have something that not only fulfill us, but Jesus says will overflow. We'll give you life and life abundantly. That he's got a spring that doesn't end. And that's the ultimate goal of Christmas, right? Remember the thief on the cross in Luke 23 says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said this to him. He said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that thief lived his whole life apart from God. Being apart from him meant that he was nailed to a cross. But guess who was next to him in death? God was with him. God was next to him. One thief made fun of Jesus and rejected the gift. The other thief saw something special in Jesus. He realized that this guy was God. He said, just remember me. He didn't say, give me a gift. He just said, remember me, right? Like, I don't know how much he meant, but God gave him far more than I'm sure whatever he did mean. And this Christmas, as we close, this is the gift that God wants you to have. Him with you. Do you want it? Will you receive it? If I had, oh man, if a truck backed up with gold right now, I'd say, hold on a second, guys, we'll finish this later, right? Wouldn't you want it? I mean, maybe gold's not worth it anymore, but don't you want to be forgiven and washed clean? I remember when I was hitting the bottle and doing drugs, it's really because I wanted to be clean. I couldn't erase the things I had done. I couldn't wash them away. It wasn't until Jesus' blood came and took it away for me that I was clean, and then I didn't need the bottle anymore. I didn't need the drugs anymore because the pain that was leading me to them was gone, and the one who was leading me home had taken over. But that Jesus can be with you right now, and he'll take you to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? The place is called paradise, right? I mean, it's not cheeseburger in paradise, right? That place wasn't that good. But God wants to take you there with him, and that's the point of Christmas, is that God loves you, God's made you, and God has a gift for you, a free gift in his son Jesus, a relationship with him, with your father, with your maker. The Bible says your best friend. Do you need a friend? Are you lonely? Do you need someone to love you and watch over you because you need a dad? Do you need someone to be your comforter, your partner because your wife or your spouse has died? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So tonight, as we close in another song or two, turn your heart toward him. Receive the gift he has for you.
There is a vineyard of the Lord, soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we dream first light until